Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Happy Good Friday to you. Happy Easter to you. Happy holidays to you wherever you are. Let's talk World Autism Awareness Day today. I'm Sheriff Quatri. Please track this conversation on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. You can also track it on Facebook as well. Nigeria Info 99.3. Let's know what you, any question that you've got concerning autism. If you are autistic, you yourself, if you're autistic and you can send us your message, feel free to do that. If you have an autistic child, or the autistic ward, feel free to send us your concerns and your questions and your advice and whatever it is you can send through today that can enlighten people out there, maybe from the experience you've garnered over the years. Let us know exactly what you can share with us. WhatsApp number is also very, very open right now. That's 0809-597-5805. That's our WhatsApp number, 0809-597-5805. I have Helen Asalue Akinko here, Aninko rather, in the studio this morning. She is the head facilitator at Mana Children's Center. Helen, it's lovely to have you here.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Sheriff, I'm good. And you?
I'm okay. Happy holidays to you.
The same to you. And then... happy Autism Awareness Day.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Let's start this way, Helen. What is autism really?
Autism.
Autism spectrum disorder.
Yes. It's a condition related to brain development.
Oh.
Yes. That impacts or affects how a person perceives and socializes with others. Being autistic does not mean you have an illness or a disease.
Okay.
Yes. It means the brain works in a different way from other people.
Oh.
Yes, that's what it means actually.
Okay.
It's something one is born with or appears when one is very young. So if one is autistic, it's a lifelong thing. Yes. But there's hope. Autistic people can live a full life.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So being autistic does not have to stop you from having a good life, really.
Okay.
Yes, like every other person, autistic people have things they are good at, as well as things they struggle with. So being autistic does not mean you can never make friends, have relationships, or get jobs. But you might need extra help with a lot of things.
I'm even trying to figure out whether some people even realize that they're autistic to start with. If you're autistic and you're listening to us this morning, and you'd like to share something, your story maybe with the rest of Lagos, feel free. I mean, I can take your call right now, like right now, because the way Helen puts it a couple of seconds ago, it struck me in a different way, like, okay, so you can live a normal life. It doesn't mean that you can't have a full life of your own. In fact, you can even be whatever you want to be, depending on the spectrum that you fall in as an autistic person. And I'm wondering in my head, like, could maybe we have somebody who is autistic right now and is listening to us and wants to share his or her story. We welcome that. Our numbers are 0700-993-993-993 and 01-465-7190. Even if it's challenging, we'll welcome you. Just tell us your story. We would love to hear it. Helen, let me take this call and listen to this person first. Then we'll now come to how you can tell if someone is actually autistic or not. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
My name is Isa Yakub.
Your name is?
Yakub.
Yakub. Yakub, are you autistic?
No, it's my brother.
Your brother?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
There is always things one thing that the minister is locking himself from the inside room, saying you are isolated, even though you are talking to him. So just I've been behaving as if nobody is even talking to him. I always stay indoors.
He keeps to himself.
Keeps to himself, yes.
Hmm. But what?
Always saying, and they seem to keep worrying me. I don't know what we can do about it.
How old is he?
Exactly.
You know, almost 18 to 19 years.
When did this start?
It started for so long, like almost 5 years ago now.
5 years ago?
5 years?
Yeah.
Is that possible, Helen?
Oh.
Because it's usually neurological.
Exactly.
They're usually born with it.
They're born with it.
Okay.
Yakub, they are usually born with it. Perhaps what you're going to do, Yakub, is if you're listening, is take your brother to a health practitioner. Let them examine your brother. It's possible that it's not autism that your brother is going through. It could be depression that your brother is going through. Let's take another call. I'm tempted. I want to hear stories. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
I'm Prosper, calling from K2.
Prosper, welcome. Are you autistic, Prosper?
No, I'm not an autistic person, but I'm a therapist.
You're a therapist. Talk to us, Prosper. Talk to us. What are your experiences in working with autistic people?
Yeah, like rightfully she said, I turned on my radio this morning and I heard the topic autism and I was happy and I was glad to talk about it. Because this is a very long field that people don't really realize or recognize, but actually exists.
That's right.
And people mistake autism for different kind of illness. They mistake it for spiritual sickness. So people say this is like, how did they say it in our language? Or all these people say it, Mami Wata or
Ogbanje.
But autism is something that should be looked at and analyzed very well. Like where I do my therapist, the child I do my therapist for, there are some different behaviors. We have behavioral aspects that you look at when to know if a child is autistic. Like tiptoeing, playing all by himself, not able to use his words at the right time. If you, when a child is like 2-3 years and he's not talking.
Right.
You see? And the child is not dumb.
Right.
You know this child is...
could be autistic.
There are different
things you see in the child.
Right.
So for you to know the child is autistic. Like the grip... like your child, basically, an autistic child needs him or her to be taught everything. The normal things you and I can do normally.
Yeah.
There are some things they don't teach us.
You have to help them. You have to help them through those things.
Exactly.
Yes. Like talking.
But it doesn't mean that they can't do it, Prosper. Yeah. It's just that they need help.
Yes.
Oh.
They need help.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
From a therapist perspective, Prosper, thank you for sharing your thought. Because I have Sunday here. Helen, I'll come to you, but Sunday has been on the line for some time now. Sunday, hi. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. Good
morning to you, Sunday.
I'm Sunday from Cotton.
Welcome.
I have a boy. He was born about 30 years ago.
Okay.
He doesn't know what to do. They have taken him to so many... men of God, they pray for him. He says the same thing.
Was he born that way?
He doesn't talk.
Right from when did it start? When he was a child?
Right from the birth.
Right from birth. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But Sunday, the thing is, you have to take him to the hospital, not to pastors or
imams. When he was about 3 years old. He doesn't talk. We took him to Luke. They examined him. Then he fast forward to we should go to some church. They pray for him. So that is what we are talking
about. Wait. The hospital did not refer you to church, oh?
Well, they told us that this is not a medical problem that we should look for. We should go to the
church. Hospital told you that?
Many years ago.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
Try again, Sunday. Don't give up. Try again. Take him to another hospital and see a specialist. Mm? It's not everything that is Mami Water Power. Sunday, thank you so much. I really do feel your pain, although nobody can understand what you're going through. But hey, you just have to be strong and keep working at it. There's nothing impossible. Helen, now, from what Prosper said, because that's exactly what I was going to ask you next, like, what are the signs that you, telltale signs that you look at and you say, this my son, my daughter, may just be autistic. What are those things that give them away that as being autistic?
Okay. Yes, there are so many of these telltale signs that one needs to watch out for in our children. A few and very important ones. In the area of social communication and interaction, the signs you find here, they are failure to respond to a name called.
Yes. When you call them.
You may call the child who is autistic by his name or by her name, and she would not respond to that name. He would not respond to it. So it begins to tell you that something is wrong, because when you call the typical child, that child would respond. So, but a child with autism finds it difficult to respond and even make eye contact when you are talking to the child.
They avoid it. I'm sure I'm autistic. I must have been autistic. I don't like gazing into people's eyes. I'm serious, Helen.
Really?
I avoid eye contact a lot.
But that's not just...
okay.
That's when one doesn't make eye contact means one is autistic.
Okay.
Not really. Okay, so failure to respond to his name or her name when called appears not to hear at times. There's a reluctance to respond, which is behavioral. Yes. So they give you poor eye contact, and then they lack facial expression as well. When the child is resisting cuddling, holding, and seems to prefer playing alone.
Don't touch me.
Yes, retreating into his or her own world. These are telltales that parents should look out for. Yes, and like I even tell some of my clients and some of our parents at school that the signs are things you would have seen quite early in the child.
How early?
Yes, as early as 3 months.
No way.
No, you can begin to detect something is wrong with the child that is born.
As early as three months?
Yes, because the child, three, four months. Because a child born that doesn't make any, that doesn't respond to a sound, and these children, as they grow, they respond to sound and then they make eye contact with you.
Yeah.
As their parents.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Because when you take something like a pendulum in front of them, you see them looking in that direction.
That's right.
Left or right.
That's right.
But a child that does not do that, that's a telltale.
Sometimes they even smile at you and, you know,
facial
try to play. Yeah.
Some won't smile. So whereby there is no smile, no awareness of your presence around them, it's a telltale. That's a red flag.
Okay, I'm dropping my pen now. what can you do at that stage? Is there anything that can be done at that stage? 3 months? 4 months? I mean, I was going to ask you, like, so at what point do you start taking action when you begin to see all of these telltale signs? Because, I mean, you could, 3 months, 4 months, you'd be like, yeah, maybe he's not just happy. Maybe he's just hungry. Maybe she just wants to sleep or something.
Yes,
you know.
You watch the child. It's not enough to conclude or label at that time, really.
Okay.
But like you asked, what are the telltales? So I'm just telling you that as early as that, it's detectable for an observant parent. Because a lot of the times when we have the cases where it deteriorates to what it is before some persons accept to take their children for diagnosis, checkup, they must have seen all of this, but they just wave it, thinking he or she is going to grow out of it, or he or she is going to learn to play or learn to look. So early intervention, like we normally campaign, it's the key. It's the way out. So it's also fine that you take an action than leave things to chance.
I agree.
Yes. So that child, if you start observing such from 3, 4, 5, 6 months of the child's existence, it's fine. Let's don't take things to chance. Mm-hmm. Let's look out for those signs and then follow them up.
Right.
Rather than leave it and then it's something else, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's just a behavior at that moment,
yeah,
because the child is still growing, mm-hmm, and just the baby thing, the child will definitely come out of it.
Right.
Then that child, you can still do those activities,
right,
to test.
Just to confirm.
Yeah, just to confirm.
Hmm.
And if the child is able to follow your direction of object, or maybe when you make sound,
yeah,
somewhere,
yeah,
the child is able to respond to that sound,
hmm,
in the different directions, you check all directions,
hmm,
not just one side,
hmm,
to see if on the left, on the right, the,
yeah,
front and the back, the child, so you know this child is okay.
How do you know whether a child is just shy, or because the dad will say, I'm a mini, oh, Jummy, no, I'm quiet, I don't make trouble, I'm just quiet like that, I don't know how to look at people in the face, or I don't know how to play.
Yeah, because if that continues over a time, then, yeah, I don't think it's okay.
There are still some people, mm-hmm, that are very quiet, Ellen. They are very quiet. Like, they just want to... I'm not talking about myself now. They just want to stay on their own and just do their thing. It's all right. That they just find a way to because to them, it's when they're alone, they think, they are more productive. They are really, you know, very hands-on to get things done easily than other people. Do we say that those people are autistic? I mean, basically what, yeah, I'm saying is,
yeah,
what I'm saying is, mm, how do you differentiate between just being a reserved person and being autistic?
Okay.
Because, you know, Helen,
yes,
it's your field. It's
yes,
a spectrum.
It is.
It's a wide,
exactly,
spectrum.
I'm going to talk about the spectrum a little. Yes, so those ones who are actually just reserved, you don't label them.
Okay.
It's just them. They're just the quiet people.
Hmm.
But those who are on the spectrum, who have issues, there is this difficulty in initiating conversation or interaction.
Oh, I have that too.
You can't have that. If you have a need for something, don't you walk up to somebody? Don't you say something? Would you just be there?
It's hard,
and your
though.
Need is
Helen, it's,
at you?
It's hard though. Sometimes it's hard though. Are you saying that it's impossible for me to be autistic? Like me now? Here,
yes. Because you've come this far, you actually know what you're doing. Have you ever lived with a support? Have you ever lived with somebody taking you all around, showing you things to do?
No.
Or telling you what to do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know at a point you really have to tell them what to do? You have to make words for them to have,
mm-hmm,
their own word.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you are not being helped to that point, you have your own ability to discern what, mm, you want at the time you want it.
Right.
You are not autistic.
Tell us about the spectrum.
Okay.
Because it's important that we understand this so people know if they have a child that is in any of these levels of autism, so they can be aware and take action now. Because you mentioned something earlier that we're still going to come back to, and that is early intervention. So if your child is,
yes,
on this, any of these stages of autism spectrum disorder, then you should know that you need to take action. Tell us about those stages on the spectrum.
Just a moment.
Because, you know, the reason why I want to make this very clear is our listeners are listening right now. In fact, they're still calling. Let's take a few calls, Helen. Let's take a few calls.
Okay,
let's take
out
a few calls. I'm sorry. I just need to get them in.
Yes.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are
you? Please turn off your radio, please. Please turn it off.
Okay. Yeah, this is Mr. Tony.
Mr. Tony, welcome.
Yeah, I have a nephew that is autistic.
Okay.
And he started from the age of 4.
From 4?
Yeah, and up till now we've been managing it.
How have you been managing it?
I took him to Ibobi, I took him to a couple of hospitals, tried to see the best we could do.
Okay.
It was that difficult. But in every result we get, it looks like it's difficult to deal with autism. Autism doesn't have a solution. I know a couple of families that are going through something. Even a lady came in from the U.S. with the daughter and the same problem. So we are looking a better way to handle it.
Hello, are you there? I think we lost that call. We'll try and talk about the spectrum in a few minutes, but we need to go out on a quick break right now, Helen.
Okay.
We need to go on a quick break. We'll be right back. Okay. Stay here, Lagos. We'll be back in a moment.
Crossfire.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for a minute with us on the Morning Crossfire this Friday morning. Happy Good Friday to you. And of course, it's World Autism Awareness Day today. I'm Sharif Quadri. 8:36 is the time from the studio here this morning. Thank you all for being a part of it. So this morning we have our guest seated already, and we've had a conversation. In fact, we've really talked since morning. Helen Osalue Aninkwo is here with me from Mana Children's Center. She's in the studio already. We'll get your stories in a moment, but let me quickly just the calls are tripping in. But let's quickly just treat the spectrum spectrum that we have, and then perhaps we'll go to the phone lines to take a few contributions from the people.
Okay, all right. The term spectrum in autism spectrum disorder refers to the wide range of symptoms and severity. More about autism spectrum disorder. It includes conditions that were previously considered separate. Asperger syndrome.
Okay.
Child disintegrative disorder.
Okay.
And unspecified form of pervasive developmental disorder, PDD, not otherwise specified. Yes, what I was trying to explain to you then.
Yeah.
PDD is pervasive developmental disorder.
Okay.
Not otherwise specified.
Well, what does it mean? What does that mean? Not otherwise specified. Like, you can't tell?
That is a childhood disintegrative disorder. Hmm. And an unspecified form. It's unspecified.
You can't really tell. You can't...
Exactly. Because some of these children have this condition with underlining other disorders, which is also a condition attached to it.
Okay. Okay. That sounds quite heavy, though.
Yes, very heavy. So, autism is a spectrum. It means everybody with autism is different. It affects them differently.
So they're not like the same.
No.
When you put autistic people together, they fall on different stages on the spectrum.
Exactly. They fall on different stages because some have this autism with ADHD.
Okay.
Which is attention deficit hyperactive disorder.
That's right.
Which is also more of behavioral issues.
They're not calm. Yes. They are just
inattention. 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 So you need to do everything you need to do to get them calm, get them attend to instructions, get them attend to what you want them to do before they can do something.
Well, some people say, is it about just being playful or something? I mean, they can't just sit in one place. They can't pay attention to anything. That's on the spectrum of autism?
Yes.
Oh my goodness me.
Yes. And such comes with serious concern, because when we say inattention, children with ADHD, you just cannot underestimate what they can do in a split second when you turn your eyes away.
Just take your eyes off them.
A lot of them just run off because the language the brain interprets to them in the place of walking is run. And they are running to where? I once had a client whom the mother would tell you, the child is never taken to the beach for fear of the fact that this child could just take off and even run straight into that
the ocean, yeah.
Yes. That's the message he's getting. Just run. Instead of use your legs to walk. So we teach children to walk. There's something called replacement behavior.
Okay.
In our treatment plans. You know, we're going to talk about treatment.
Yes, we will.
Yes. So in our treatment plan. So there are behaviors these children exhibit. We manage by putting up appropriate behaviors, which over time they learn, and then it becomes them. Following continuity.
They adopt those behaviors.
Exactly, for modification of what they had before. It's very achievable, very possible.
Let's talk about that treatment now. How do you begin to work on autistic children? In fact, wait, before we talk treatment, okay. Let's talk about cost.
The cost. Oh, okay.
What's the cost of having an autistic child?
All right. The cost is much.
Okay.
Not just in terms of finances alone.
Okay.
Your time, your emotion, your psychology, everything about you is put into it.
Everything.
Everything about you is put into it. It's what it costs. And at the end of the day, the cost of managing a child living with autism, it's also 100% worth it.
Okay.
Because it can be psychologically draining, physically tiring, stressful. Like some persons who have children with cerebral palsy.
That's right.
That has to do with mobility issues,
yeah.
Movements.
Yeah.
You have to keep on everything. Getting the child from one point to another, from feeding to dressing up the child, potty training, because when you don't take it upon you to ensure the potty training is in place, that means you have a lot of the time to be doing washings and packing
and
up.
Cleaning up and all
this. Exactly. So all of these are also what it costs to have children with special needs. It's
quite enormous.
Challenging. Then you come to the financial aspect. To give them therapy. The speech is expensive, the behavior is expensive, the one-on-one.
And they have to pay for all of these things.
Oh, yes.
And you have specialists that, you know.
Yes.
You have to engage their services.
Exactly. Exactly.
So tell me about the treatment. How can one help a child, an autistic child, and get the quality treatment? What's the treatment like?
Okay. First, with the child's diagnosis, you take an assessment of this child.
Okay.
And then you develop an individual education plan for the child, which is a treatment plan.
Okay.
That plan tells you and guides you regarding the needs of the child you have assessed. What are the needs of the child? So these are the things like my center, what we do when we have children who are with us. Their diagnoses are things we take, and then we assess them one-on-one, actually.
That's right.
To know. Then we want to give treatment. The assessment helps us to know what are the specific needs of this child. So these are the things the professional team comes together. The occupational therapist, the speech therapist, the behavior therapist, and then the special education needs teacher, and the parents. Yes. Because the parent
is part of the team.
Oh yes, very important. The parent is part of the team, so that whatever plan that is resolved by the team,
yeah,
the parents is in the know. And we are all on the same page. The parent has a copy of the IEP,
yeah,
the individual education plan, which is a treatment specified for this child, is very different to another child's treatment.
That's right.
So when we work with this, we have short-term goals, we have long-term goals. So at the end of the day, there's a holistic result.
I want to quickly just talk to you about stigmatization. A lot of parents keep their children at home. They lock them up because of stigmatization that they face in this society. How what impact do you think society has on autistic children? Do we help them? Do we do more harm than good? You know, society at large.
Yes, that is why today is World Autism Awareness Day.
That's right.
The UN has put up several things over the year since the inception of their support to the world. And it's a global thing. It's not about Nigeria alone.
That's right.
It's not about some certain families, a lot of families cutting across ethnic groups and tribes.
That's
like
right.
That. So everybody has got their own share of the story, because this autism thing is a journey. It's a community. It's the streets. It's those affected.
Yeah.
It's a community. It's a kind of family.
Okay.
For all of us, both the caregivers and the parents.
That's right.
Yes. Stigmatization, it was a whole lot. It's still a whole lot. And we're still fighting it. And that's why the awareness can't just stop.
It can't stop.
We keep reiterating.
It can't
Every
stop.
Year, the UN brings topics to make you understand that these children can do well.
Yeah.
I would say something. Let me just quickly just run through captions of the different topics we've had.
In the past?
Yes.
That's right.
That, because these are the things put in place to fight this stigmatization to a standstill if it's going to be possible, because it is what we want, really. And autism, like I said, is not an illness, it's not a death sentence, it's not a disease. And children with autism can live a normal life when they are given support, not just by their families, even the society at large. They can function. At the center, our treatment plan, the purpose is for them to function to themselves.
To function, to be able to be independent.
Yes. And then from there, extend it to the society. Before the society, to their own families. After themselves, to the family, then the society at large.
You know what, Helen?
Yes.
Let's take some calls in, because we're gradually getting to that point. I need to come to you because I know MANA has a plan for this year's celebration of World Autism Awareness Day. I know.
But yes, we had something like that yesterday at school.
Yesterday?
We had to showcase the works of our children.
Okay.
We celebrate their strength, their interests. We celebrate every achievement, great or small.
This is
to encourage them,
good.
To make them bring out the best in them, because they've got potentials.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And there are so much.
Yeah, they are so, so brilliant, like very smart people.
They are smart people. I have some in my class, very smart.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Let me speak with Sam quickly.
All right.
Sam, hi, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, Sherry.
Morning.
How are you doing? Good morning to our guests.
Go on, Sam.
Yeah, sir. What I want to ask is, what is the difference between autism and Down syndrome? Or they are the same, or they are synonymous, or they are different? And it's really funny. I mean, I want to say it's funny. It's crazy how you hardly see them, and parents, they keep them.
They keep them indoors. Yeah.
I don't have anybody who's, but I see them once in a while. You understand, and they say it's very bad. The way they are being treated, you understand that stigmatization. So it's like a brain drain, and you are being inculcated to just believe they are totally different from us, right from childhood.
They are just special.
I know they are special because I've read a lot about some of them and the kind of level of intelligence they display.
Yes,
you understand.
It's amazing.
It's beyond that of a well-bodied person at times.
Yes, an able-bodied.
Because I was watching some documentary about the UAE. They have sports for them. They have different things for them. And it's unfortunate the kind of society we find ourselves.
Thank you, Sam, for calling me. I'm going to speak with George very quickly. George, hi. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Morning to you.
I and all of you in the studio, God bless you. Happy Easter in advance.
Happy Easter to you too.
Happy Easter.
Okay. I hope to make a very quick comment and ask two questions. One is, I have a colleague in the office, and she has a daughter that's, I think, about 5 or 6 years. But this girl, every one of us in the office, we know that she is not just the normal child. Something is wrong because she comes, she plays a lot, and she has not even started talking, but she makes shrill sound. Very shrill sound. She holds something. She wants to tear it into pieces. She laughs more than necessary. And the irony is, everybody keeps quiet and plays with the child, pretending that everything is good. Nobody wants to hurt the mother. You know, nobody wants to say, I think something is wrong with this child. Yeah. We are just pretending that everything is normal. Yeah. We play, you know, play with the child.
How old is she? She's five.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
You know, we go outside, we say, no, this child is not normal. Because everybody has a child, but we know that it's not normal.
All right. Thank you, George. Thank you. We are running out of time. Helen, what do you think could be wrong? Is that still on the spectrum?
It's very possible. It's very possible.
You know, unless she goes for some diagnosis.
She needs to see the physicians, the pediatricians, at least to make fine diagnosis. Like sometimes the first problem we usually have and why the cases deteriorate and then early intervention is far, is denial. Apart from stigmatization, which is another problem, and one of the reasons why, well, some parents would want to live in denial, they don't want to own up to the fact that there's a problem. Like I told you, when you begin to observe these telltales, you can observe them as early as 3, 4, 5, 6 months. If you are the type that is paying attention to your child, you would see that this child isn't responding the way the child should.
Of that age.
Of that age. I'm not saying that child should talk, but a child can giggle, the child can smile, but if there are no facial expressions, something is wrong.
Right.
Sounds are made, the child doesn't look in the direction of the, something is wrong. And then you take things in front of the child's eye and there's no movement, to and fro, no up and down looking. Something is wrong. And then this child grows to 2 years. Some would actually have speech.
Okay.
And they will be talking. Like sometimes parents will tell us, this child said mommy at 1 year birthday.
Yeah.
And after that, that was how the word, he lost it. And usually this thing happens when that child is 18 months.
Ellen, we must prepare to go now. Okay. But I need you to share how people can reach you, because this calls that I'm seeing here, I can't take everything as I'm out of time. How can people reach you for questions and whatever that they may have right now? How can they contact... Let me first talk to you about how they can reach Manna, because I know that once they come to Manna,
you can reach me from there.
Okay.
I work there.
Okay.
I'm still there and I've been there for some years.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good.
So it's been cool. So
how can they reach Manna?
I can leave the admin's contact.
Okay. You know what? I'm
email, and then I've got flyers. I can also drop something.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So tell me about this event that you guys have. I have about 1 minute to
Okay. Like I said yesterday, we had to celebrate their strength.
Right.
We had to support them. Because the moment you reinforce them, it gives them the sense of belonging.
Yeah.
They are humans. They want to be carried along.
Right.
Because they can do things. So they don't really like it where you ignore them. You want to think because of their conditions or how they behave, they are not good to get involved in things. It's not telling well on them, though
That's
they can't tell you verbally.
That's right.
But when you take them everywhere into everything you do, you see this joy radiating. You see the smile, because I have some of them very nonverbal. But when I involve them in class activities, oh my God, I just see how they smile, how happy
Helen,
they are.
We must go now. We really must go. But I'll get all the information I'll share it on my timeline.
Okay.
All right, Helen, thank you so much for coming around.
It's
many thanks
pleasure.
To all the children at Manna Children's Center. Many thanks to Mrs. Adifa as well for sending you here. Thank you so much.